The gospel lesson this morning is taken from Matthew. Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. And this is the good news about Jesus. We are intimately linked to this harvest work, Jesus said. Anyone who accepts what you do accepts me and the one who sent me. Anyone who accepts what I do accepts my Father who sent me. Accepting a messenger of God is as good as being God's messenger. Accepting someone's help is as good as giving someone's help. This is a large work that I've called you into, but don't be overwhelmed by it. It's the best to start small. Give a cup of cool water to someone who is thirsty. For instance, the smallest act of giving can make you a true apprentice of faith. You won't lose out on anything. Let us pray. Just in a moment of silence, let's just consider the scripture lessons that we have heard. Maybe ask God, what do you need to hear from God today during our worship service? Let God know what you need to hear. And Lord, we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the most amazing things that Jesus confronted is not unlike a problem that hundreds of millions of people suffer in our world today, looking for clean water. It's a very serious problem, even in our country, people finding reliable and clean water. Just ask the citizens of Detroit. Ask the citizens of a lot of other metropolitan areas who for years have been eating or drinking normal tap water that they find out later was contaminated, seriously contaminated. Not just a bad aftertaste, but really dangerous, possibly even carcinogenic. And so finding clean water is something that we all understand. We're grateful, aren't we, that when we turn on the spigot here, that we could trust the water that we drink. And so in Jesus' day, it was really tough because the water that Jesus drank, they didn't have taps. You probably knew that. But back then, you know, they would have their water, and generally it would come down from mountain streams, melting snow up high in mountains and distance, far, far distance away. And sometimes water would travel underground for a period of time where it would cool off in cisterns and other kinds of gathering places for water. But when people drank water, they had to be very careful. And Jesus used a phrase, it isn't just his phrase, but he said, be very careful, you want to drink living water. Now, we can associate a meaning to living water, like living water meaning the spiritual water that Jesus offers. Don't lose that thought. But when you read in the scripture about living water, it doesn't always need that spiritual connotation. It's actually a literal meaning to that. In other words, when the water that people would drink back in ancient times, if it wasn't flowing recently, it was dead water. And dead water could be very dangerous, not only chemicals that could seep into the water from the ground, but even just unpleasant things, like maybe not dangerous, like for instance salt, limestone, other kinds of minerals could get in the water. If the water wasn't living, the opposite of living water is what? Dead water. We all know about the Dead Sea, right? Anybody ever been there to the Dead Sea? Yeah, this does not surprise me. Marge, that's wonderful. What do you remember about the Dead Sea?
What I remember about about the Dead Sea is that we waded in it, and if you're supposed to cure anything that you touch. So I had rosacea very badly, so I patted it all over my face, and I don't have it anymore. I'm good.
Nice. Oh, wow. Super salty. Yeah. Yeah, so it has medicinal benefit. But I doubt if you really wanted to gobble any of that water up. Probably not. Right. And when we're out swimming, you know, even in the bay, which is not salt water, I bet you don't want to drink that either. And certainly even in the ocean, you don't want to drink that because of all the salt. Now, that water is living. But just picture in an ancient culture where water needs to be gathered in different ways, such as from wells or other things. If they knew that a well was not sourced by a flowing stream, sometimes they would just seal it off. This is a dead well, and it's just not healthy to drink. So Jesus talks in this passage about the importance of something as simple as water. But you know, just because water is available generally doesn't mean that we can get access to it, because different people need different kinds of containers for water. In the passage that Marge read for us from Jeremiah, it's from the Psalm passage. Yes, glory of their strength. For the glory of their strength, by your favor, our horn is exalted. You know, a horn was a sign of victory when they would have like a ram's horn or something. But it was a sign of victory, because what they would do with the horn is they would fill it with wine. And so it's a toast. Our horn is exalted, which means, they could have just said we were having a toast, right? But I don't know. It's a long time ago. So they say things differently. But that was the behavior. When there's a victory, when a building gets built, when there's a healing in the community, when there was victory over the just war, they would gather together all their utensils, and what they drank wine from were horns. They didn't have glass. They didn't have plastics. They didn't have metals, really, that was at least able to be purchased and useful for people, but they would have horns. And so when that phrase in the psalm says, and God caused us to have our horn exalted, raised up, which means we had a victory over something. Different people need different kinds of containers for water. There's all sorts of different kinds of containers. You picture water. Water is one of those interesting things, that any liquid, that when you pour it into a container, it always seeks its same level. Whether the cup is deep or whether something is quite shallow, when you pour an irregularly shaped, water will always seek its level. But some people need different kinds of containers. Like, for instance, have you ever handed a three-year-old a glass champagne, a champagne glass filled with water? Would you ever do that? Probably not, because the risk is too high, right? Not only would you perhaps break your favorite champagne glass, but it's possible the child might hurt themselves or even crush the glass in their hands. So if you want to feed a baby water, we give them like a juice box. We give them some other kind of plastic container so that it's safer. You can have containers made out of metal, plastic, paper, glass. They could be large or small. It just doesn't matter. But when we give somebody something to drink, not only does it need to be living water, that is healthy, good, it's good for you, but you also need to hand it to them in a way that they can understand and they can receive it. Can't be too big, can't be too small. So when Jesus said, I am sending you, and I send you as the Father has sent me, and if anyone accepts you, they accept me. Just like anyone who accepts me has accepted the Father who sent me. Accepting a messenger of God is as good as being God's messenger. Listen to that. When we receive things that are good, it's just as good as giving things that are good. Think about that. In other words, sometimes, you know, somebody might offer us something, and it's good. You know, we say, oh, no, thank you, no, that's fine, I can do that myself. Or, no, that's not necessary for me. Thanks anyway, but that's fine. You know, you're, and this could be perfectly fine, but think about this. It's possible that you're not receiving the gift that's being offered because of your pride. You're not receiving the gift because you don't think, well, you could be giving something away. You don't need to be getting something in return. I could make 10 of those that they're offering me. Why would I want to accept that? But we forget that the gift is in giving. So that when we receive a gift, we are honoring the giver. And that honor is just as high, Jesus says, as if we were the one giving a gift. You see, there's a cycle of giving and receiving. Giving isn't better than receiving. But you can't receive unless somebody's giving. But you can't also give if no one is receiving. Do you know why Cold Spring Church is called Cold Spring Church? Yeah? Who knows? Tell me. Marge, what do you know?
It's because there's a spring on Route 9, and it's still there, but you can't really get to it, and it was a cold spring, so it's part of this property.
That's right. Yes, Marge, what do you know? Yes.
And that was like in the 70s.
Oh, wow. Okay. Anybody else know anything about our cold spring? John?
It was originally an Indian settlement from what I got. And the Indians used the water. And it's right along the railroad tracks down here on 9.
Yes, right next to the big parking lot by Cold Spring Village, right?
Right
that, by that big lot. Now, there's a big parking lot right there. Anybody else have any tidbits about Cold Spring? You know, when I've been researching this, of course, coming to Cold Spring Church, we're the only church in the Presbyterian with that name, by the way. Yeah, thank you. Amen to that. But there is another Cold Spring Church. There's one in Virginia. Fake Cold Spring Church is what I call them. And there's also a Cold Spring Church in New York, but they spell it wrong. Theirs is Cold Springs Church. A bunch of show-offs is what they are. But that's also a fake Cold Spring. So as far as I know, we're the only Cold Spring Presbyterian church, other than the fake one in North Carolina or something, or Virginia. But our Cold Spring, you're right, it goes way back. The nickname actually occurred before this church was settled. So it was an Indian name, and it was a familiar, it was like a nickname for the area, named for the very spring. But one little tidbit I did find, if you research, there's just not a whole lot on the internet. So if we want to do more research, this is an open door. You could do more research. There's really not much. But what I did find is that the reason the Cold Spring was so unique is that this Cold Spring bubbled up in a salt marsh. That area over there is very salty soil. It's mineral rich. It's sort of like a Dead Sea without the sea. It's just like a salt shaker that's just sort of sitting there underground. But in the middle of this salt marsh is a bubbling, living water, not dead water, living water that bubbles up above the salt layer. And so that's where people who settled this area were able to get refreshment. And so Cold Spring was a neighborhood that later was this is just a neighborhood. It was when Lower Township was incorporated a long, long time ago, it included the neighborhood of Cold Spring. Like, there's a bunch of them, Fishing Creek, and there's a town bank. I mean, there's a lot of other neighborhoods that are included. But Cold Spring not only is unique in a name, but it's also unique in a behavior because it's very unusual, I understand, for clear, cool water to come to surface level above a salt marsh. Cold Spring Presbyterian Church. You know, Jesus invited his disciples to do something very special, and that was that when in doubt, you should offer a cup of cold water in my name. He says, give a cup of cool water to someone who is thirsty. For instance. And you may think that that's a very small thing to do, a very easy thing to do. Something, oh geez, that's not a big deal. But I just told you, first of all, you got to make sure it's good water. You've got to make sure it's in a container that someone can hold, that it's appropriate for the moment. And that you also, because you're giving it, you have to find somebody who's actually willing to receive it. Because sometimes we offer gifts that aren't received. And a gift not received is not a gift given. And so this cycle means that Cold Spring Presbyterian Church, 300 years ago, when followers of Jesus decided to start worshiping in this area, that they knew that God's gift needed to be received. And so this fellowship was started. And for all these years, we have been giving out the living water, that spiritual, thirst-quenching power that God has offered us. And so today, after worship, we have a cup of cold water to give you. It's chilled, probably. Maybe not so much now. But on your way out, I'll hand you a cup of cold water. Here, and I want you to read what that says.
Cold Spring Presbyterian Church.
And read.
Transforming lives, communities, and the world for more than 300 years.
And the next part.
Be a part of our future.
Mm-hmm.
And then the www email.
Uh-huh. There you go. Refresh your spirit, energize your life. You're not going to give that back to me, are you, Marge? Okay. Here, I have another one. That's okay. We have a bunch of these. And here's what I'd like you to do. It says on here, and then it has, enjoy a cup of water. Enjoy a cup of water. And it has the verse when Jesus said, out from me will flow rivers of living water. See, he means by that, water that's good for you. Water that will quench your soul. It's not salty water. It's not yucky water, it's good water. Jesus says, I have that kind of water for you. And although we might have received the living water, I wonder if everyone that you meet along the way knows about the living water, the water that's good for them, the water that Christ offers them. So, refresh your spirit, energize your life. Can you turn to someone near you and say that with me? Refresh your spirit. Energize your life. Say it again. Refresh your spirit. Energize your life. And so you can drink from this water, by the way, although we do have treats by the table. All right, so this is carefully planned and orchestrated. But you're free to drink it. It's Poland Springs. It's perfectly good. Never used. It's not salty. But what my thought was is you could take one or two of these today. And you could drink them yourself. Enjoy them, you know, with your favorite meal. Or why don't you offer it to someone? Why don't you say, hey, you know what? You look pretty thirsty today. Oh, I just so happen to have a cup of water. That's amazing. Oh, it came from my church. Because my church for 300 years has been, what's the name of our church? Cold Spring Presbyterian Church. If anybody knows anything about cold water, fresh water, the water that Jesus gives, I'm looking at them. And I think we should share the news. So take a bottle or two with you today. I'll hand them to you on the way out. I'll bring a couple up here for those that aren't staying for treats and leaving by our ramp today. But remember that God wants us to refresh our spirit. And he wants us to energize our life. And Jesus says, although it seems simple, offering a cup of water makes you an apprentice of mine, makes you a disciple of mine. So why don't we think small today? Take some water, offer it to a friend, and you may never know what may result. Let us pray. Just for a moment of silent reflection, let's just pause for a moment and consider things that we've heard. Amen.